And I want you, we can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it. Dancing on, do the boogie all night long. Stoned in paradise, shouldn't talk about it. Shouldn't talk about it. But guess what? We are going to talk about it. We're talking MMA, we're talking UFC, and Matty G is back. Forget about Matty G. I'm the champ from now on. And the Champs and Chins podcast is back in action. Hey, kill or be killed, right, Nate? That's what Nate says. Kill or be killed. I'm talking to you guys about the fights, right? We got to talk Justin versus Dustin. What's next for Justin? Dustin moves up. What's going on with Eddie Alvarez? What's he up to? We're going to talk about how Kevin Lee beat Edson Barboza. What a hell of a fight that was. We might talk a little bit about Paige VanZant and about how you only get to promote things when you win. You don't get to promote things. We're on a two-fight losing streak and you're getting married right now. That's when you don't get to talk because you're preoccupied and doing all this other stuff and you're leaving all your all these goofy fans like, oh, when's Paige coming back? I don't care when Paige is coming back. How about that? She should get her act together and start focusing again. Oh, but Matt, you don't know Paige. How do you know that? Because I know. Guess what? I got Twitter. That's how I know. Does that answer your question? What else are we talking about? We talk about the Karate Hottie. We talk about the Karate Hottie and her win over Casey. We could talk about a few things. The other biggest thing is, Khabib's manager, I think his name's Ali. He's talking a lot of smack for someone who's not in the cage. That's interesting. I don't know why he has to open his mouth. Like what? I love the fake personas. That's the one thing I get mad at. Stop with the fake personas. Be real. How about that? How you actually be real, and stop hiding behind fighters. Let him talk. Khabib knows how to talk. He knows how to tweet. He doesn't need you tweeting. I don't know when managers got involved all of a sudden. Back off. We're also going to talk about the one fighter. I forgot his name. No, the Notorious Noel here. Let me look this up. Notorious Noel. Notorious Noel is, guess, Nick Newell, right, is the martial artist who might be, I believe he's fighting in the Dana White Contender Series. Dana White's gonna give him a shot. His weight's 155. He's 32 years old, which I already don't like that. How about that? I don't like how he's already 32 years old. That's disappointing. It's disappointing because you got Justin Gaethje. He's 29. Justin's even a little bit old. I wanted someone a little bit younger. Someone who could really be built up. When you're 32 years old, you got maybe 2 years of being in your prime left, maybe three. But I'm happy for him. It's not like I'm not happy. It's not like I don't think he deserves a shot. I read the comment sections. Someone's like, oh yeah, but we give what's his face? We give excuse me. We give CM Punk a shot. Give this guy a shot. Why not? Give this guy a shot. Give Noel a shot. Why not? And I agree with that. I only saw some of his clips. I haven't seen full fights. I've just seen clips. And he makes me nervous because he's a very good wrestler. He's phenomenal at wrestling. He's great. But like with his arm, he it's almost like he's almost sloppy almost. And when I mean sloppy is I don't necessarily mean the technique sloppy, just like very weird movements, like because he's trying to throw those kicks to create distance and he shoots for the takedown. But the issue is that if someone, blocks that takedown, the left side of his face is going to get hit with a lot of right hooks. And it's kind of like the Justin Gaethje situation is, you know, how much damage is this guy really taking? What's how much is enough? You know, it's all fun and games. It's all cool. It's all exciting. And trust me, I want to see this. But all power to him. He starts knocking people out. Yeah, sure. But just like the Justin Gaethje situation, it's all fun and cool. You know, Justin's so strong. He's so tough. He's unbreakable. Yeah, he lost, but he gave the other guys hell. Yeah, it's all good. But then you kind of reach a point where it's like, how much damage are you willing to take? And is all of it worth it? You know, it's all cool. But that last, you know, that last Justin fight, Dustin really put it on him. And yeah, you know, listen, Dustin was getting beaten up a little bit. He took quite damage with those leg kicks, and it could have went either way. But, you know, there's a common theme here of, you know, hit Justin with some body shots. He's gonna kick your legs, check the legs, hit him with the body shots. And, you know, he can't take that. So we're going to get into it. Make sure you stay tuned. And guess who's back? Back again, Champs and Chins podcast. Here I am. Guess who's back? Yeah. All right, let's just get right into it. Dustin versus Justin. Listen, freaking Dustin, man. I am so freaking proud of Dustin. I was very critical. And you know what? He was being a gatekeeper. Listen, I'm a huge fan of Conor McGregor. That's not a surprise. And when he moved to 155, he was looking really freaking good. I think he had one or two wins at 155. And then he lost to Michael Johnson. And I was just like, ugh. Like, that really got me angry. Just because, not angry, just disappointed. Because I thought he really had something. Like, I thought, I'm like, you know, he looks freaking phenomenal at 155. His body, too, alone, he looks jacked at 155. He looks completely scrawny at 145. He looks like how Conor looked at 145. Like, he looked horrible. 155, he looks jacked. His hand, his fists look like kettlebells. You understand me? Like, that's what I'm talking about. His fists look like kettlebells. He looked like a savage against Justin Gaethje. And, you know, Justin Gaethje always does that thing where, you know, he gives you a few leg kicks, he softens the legs up, right? And as soon as the guy's about to punch back, he puts his arms up like a boxer. Puts his arms up, and guess what? You rip those body shots. Bah, 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 bah. You rip the body shot. You soften his belly up a little bit. Get those hands down a little bit. Work his head, work the body again. That's what I'm talking. The biggest thing is I'm surprised Dustin didn't work like the leg kicks, like checking those leg kicks. He should have worked on that a little bit more. That Justin's one of the hardest leg kickers in the game, you know. And Justin, I feel the way about Justin the way I do about Edson Barboza, and here's why. They're awesome fighters, right? Obviously. We're not arguing that. But it's just how much damage are you willing to watch them take, right? If you guys somehow find the clip, I forgot what it's called. It's on the UFC YouTube page. It's like where they take like little clips of the corners, of all the corners, and you should see poor Mark Henry's face, right? The coach out of Jersey, the coach of Edson Barboza, Frankie Edgar, right? You should see and hear Mark Henry almost screaming in agony, like Edson, fight! Please, like along those lines, like just like in pain and agony after Khabib clobbered him. I feel the same way with Justin now, where it's like, you're hell of a guy, Justin. You're just taking too much damage. And it's really cool if you win, right? Obviously. But when you lose one and again and then maybe again and a fourth, like, when is it? I'm always going to watch it, but I don't want to say it's not fun to watch, but it's like you get sad. You get sad after a while. It's very similar to Cowboy, right? Cowboy, you know, we all got sad for Cowboy, and then all of a sudden he beats up Yancy Medeiros, and we all love him again, right? So there's ups and downs, absolutely. But what we have to do with Justin is Justin has to switch it up. He's got to use that wrestling. Apparently, he's a very good wrestler. He's a phenomenal wrestler. He just has to be smarter about it. And, you know, this is – I don't want to say this is an original thought, but, I mean, I had the same thoughts. But, again, it was talked about on – I'm sure on one of the UFC shows, one of the podcasts. I forgot which ones. But it's kind of like how much – like, what's his limit? Like, is he trying to expand this out for years? I believe in one of his interviews, he's not looking to do that. If he's looking to expand out of years, like, expand his UFC career, he's got to protect himself more. He's got to switch it up. But if he's just looking for another year, maybe a year or two, then, yeah, go out with a bang, because the amount of damage he's taking – that's enough for like 5, 6, 7 years at this point. Like, it's ridiculous. So now moving on, we gotta move on to Dustin. Freaking Dustin, man. He wants a shot at Khabib. No one's getting a shot at Khabib except Conor. Right? So let's just say Conor fights Khabib. That'll happen. Now, the issue becomes is if Conor doesn't fight Khabib. Excuse me. If Conor doesn't fight Khabib, then who fights Khabib? Tony, I think they should give... they can give Tony Khabib again if they want. And they can give Eddie Dustin for a rematch. The issue I have with that is Eddie and Dustin are both two super strong competitors at this point. Why would you want to have your competition for the champion, two strong competitions and two strong challengers for the championship? Why would you want those two challengers and reduce that to one? Let them both be strong. I would give the title shot to Dustin over Eddie. And the only reason I say that is, one, Eddie had a title shot. He was the 155-pound champion. He lost that belt to Conor. He had a long career of championships. Dustin is the hot product right now, right? He's the marketable guy right now. Let him fight Khabib. He's in his prime right now. Let him go. Don't hold him back. And if you want, let Eddie and Tony fight. That's what I would do. I would have Dustin fight Khabib, have Tony fight Eddie. Whoever wins that gets back into the competition of, let's assume, if Khabib does beat Dustin, which I'm trying to think here. Dustin, I feel like Dustin has good grappling. I personally, I like Eddie over Dustin to beat Khabib. Khabib needs to be challenged by a really good wrestler. And that's why I like Kevin Lee. You can't forget about Kevin Lee in this situation. We'll get to Kevin Lee. But again, you can't – Kevin Lee's in this position right now. He just beat – Barboza's number three was number four. You know, so now all of a sudden – we were supposed to get a clear-cut winner, Khabib versus Tony. Now what happens is we still have Conor, Khabib, Tony. But now since that's all been backed up because of Conor's situation, because of Tony's injury. Now all of a sudden we have Eddie, Dustin, and Kevin Lee, and Barboza drops. What the? And then you have Ally Aquinta stepping up. And don't forget, you got Ally Aquinta, Michael Chiesa, Anthony Pettis, Paul Felder, all behind those 1, 2, 3, 4, six guys. The top six guys right now in the division can literally all deserve a title shot. Is that absolutely insane? That is nuts. That is crazy talk. So that's what I would do. You guys want my opinion? I'm going to give you my opinion right now. Conor's not fighting Khabib for a while. Well, Madison Square Garden. Okay. If Khabib doesn't fight Conor at Madison Square Garden, this is what will happen. If Conor is out of the picture, let Eddie fight Tony. That way you don't kill the two strongest challengers right now. Or three technically, but Dustin and Eddie are the two strongest right now with Kevin Lee right behind. Literally like a hair or two behind. Don't kill off your challengers. Let them fight a little bit. Give Dustin the title because he's the hot product right now. He's the up-and-comer. He's the younger guy. He's hungrier, I think, right now. Give it to Khabib. Let Tony fight Eddie. Now, the issue becomes of, you know, does Eddie want to wait that long? Eddie might want to fight. You know, I don't have it on the top of my head. Maybe Kevin Lee fights Eddie Alvarez, mixing it up. Eddie's not going to like that, but there's no way Eddie's getting a title shot. There's no way they're announcing Eddie versus Khabib over Dustin. I'm telling you right now. All right, make sure you guys stay tuned. We are going to continue, and that is my phone ringing. Who is it? It's the Fight or Flights Champs and Chins, the old podcast, little old notification. But make sure you guys stay tuned. All right, so as you guys already know, we already pretty much went into it just on the last quick segment. But Kevin Lee beats Edson Barboza. It's pretty clear. Edson stunned him. Edson did stun him. But listen, you're going to get hit. I mean, you can't judge Kevin Lee's performance off of one really strong shot. Yeah, that's one good one, but it just Kevin Lee was very dominant in that fight. It was a fair fight. Kevin Lee's got a lot. Listen, the dude's young. He's like 25 years old. He speaks very well. He brings like a very young perspective on MMA. He's good at everything. He's a strong overall fighter. And he just beat Edson Barboza, which is a huge deal, which is, you know, that's probably the tougher fight of his life. And listen, even with Tony, listen, the dude is dealing with staff. I don't even count the Tony situation. That he took that with staff. I don't blame him for anything with that performance. If anything, he gave Tony hell for a little bit. He was able to take Tony down. He did pretty well. I mean, he did well. You can't argue with him. So the question is, like, what happens with Kevin Lee? What do we do with Kevin Lee? He beat Michael Chiesa. He lost to Tony Ferguson. And he beat Edson Barboza. So, again, that elevates him in that top six where, again, we just said Conor, Khabib, Tony. And let's be really clear here. There is still no champion at 155. Conor is not the champion. Khabib is not the champion. Tony is not an interim champion. It's not. There is no champion. Nothing has been determined. Al gave Khabib hell. Al ain't got nothing but East Coast heart. All right, that's tri-state area heart. That's some Rocky Balboa type heart. You understand me? And he lost. It's all right. I'll just gain more followers. He's a really tough fighter. He doesn't take nonsense. And he gave Khabib hell for a little bit. Okay? It shows Khabib's vulnerable, which, you know, we all know, right? But the way I saw it is just the way Al was able to escape those takedowns after a while. You know, I could see Conor escaping those takedowns pretty well too. And Conor's a little more looser, a little more, you know, fluid like move, all that movement stuff, a little more fluid. You know, it could have went a different way for Khabib. It could have. So the question is, like, who's going to fight Khabib? Who's going to be Khabib? You know, Kevin Lee said Khabib time. Kevin Lee's not getting a title shot anytime soon. So the question is for Kevin Lee, what do we do with Kevin Lee? What do we do with Edson Barboza? I don't know what to do with Edson Barboza. I don't know how far he dropped. I mean, maybe give him like an Anthony Pettis. That might be, I don't know if they ever fought Anthony Pettis, Edson Barboza. That would be two strikers, do very good with leg kicks. That might be something. But poor freaking Edson Barboza needs a break, man. He needs a freaking break. He just needs a break. Please stop beating that guy up. Just stop. Obviously, the man could take some hits. And I think Schaub was talking about, like, oh, I talked to, you know, Frankie, or I talked to Mark Henry's camp. And they're like, oh, Henry and, Frankie and Eddie, and they all struggled to take Edson down. Yeah, well, Edson was able to be taken down pretty easily. You know, maybe we underestimate Kevin Lee's wrestling. That's a strong possibility. But the whole idea is that Kevin Lee's not this phenomenal wrestler. He's very good at wrestling. Maybe it's underrated, but it's not phenomenal. It's not Yoel Romero-type wrestling, right? So we have to make that clear. So I'm so confused about what to do with this 155-pound. All we know is Edson drops. Kevin Lee raises up. Who do I give next to Kevin Lee? I would give him an Eddie, right? I would give him a Dustin. Technically, I want Dustin to fight Khabib. I would give him a Tony Ferguson rematch. I would do that. Pretty much anyone except Conor and Khabib, I would give Kevin Lee, and I would be okay with that because he beat Edson. Khabib beat Edson, right? And now Khabib is a champion. So Edson has become this gatekeeper and even Justin technically has become a gatekeeper, where Justin was holding that top five-ish, top six spot, and now he got pushed down, and everyone got a bunch of fighters got Dustin got shoved in there, Kevin Lee got shoved in there now, Eddie got shoved in there now. So those four, Tony, Eddie, Kevin Lee, and Dustin all have to fight it out somehow. You got to mix and match them. That's what you got to do. You just got to mix and match them, and you kind of just have to battle them out. But again, all of a sudden, it's not looking good. All of a sudden, I'm telling you right now, Dustin, I can see beating Khabib. I can see beating Tony. All of a sudden, Kevin Lee, I could see beating Tony in a rematch, healthy. All of a sudden, I can see Eddie being the most dangerous threat. I can see Kevin Lee and Eddie being the most dangerous threat towards Khabib. I would give it to Dustin still. See, I'm all over the place. I apologize, guys, but there's so many dynamics. But we gotta put Khabib against a wrestler. A really strong wrestler with good striking. And right now, Kevin Lee, is great at that right now. But Dustin's a hot product. Give him to Dustin. Just feed Dustin. He's hungry. Like Mickey Gall said to CM Punk, feed me. Feed me, Dana White. Feed me, CM Punk. That's what you got to do with Dustin. Just feed him right now. Feed him. Not that Eddie Alvarez isn't motivated, but you got to feed him. And freaking Kevin Lee, make no mistake. You want to put Dustin versus Kevin Lee? Throw Kevin Lee in that mix right now. I don't care if he lost to Tony. I really do not care. The way he handled Barboza, he deserves it. I'm a little worried about the weight cut. I'm a little worried about that. But listen, if Khabib can get the weight cutting under control, so can Kevin Lee. Very smart, very well spoken. He's a little controversial. I like him. I like him. And I know that kind of personality where you'd be like, he's kind of full of himself, you know, he kind of acts like Conor McGregor a little bit, right? But you know, that's a good thing sometimes. I don't think he's trying to be Conor McGregor. They're similar people. You understand me? They're similar. That doesn't mean one's trying to be the other. It just means they're similar, right? You're allowed to be similar, right? You know, someone may want to be rich, but it doesn't mean they want to be this billionaire, right? They want to be a billionaire themselves. They don't want to be Bill Gates per se. They want Bill Gates' money, but they don't want to be Bill Gates per se. So, like, that's what I'm talking about. So this is what I would do. You gotta let those four. I'm not gonna repeat it again. Those four fight it out while and deal with Connor somehow. That's the situation, but I'm very high on this Kevin Lee right now. I think he still has a lot to show, but it's going to be very interesting, and I'm very excited. But again, mark my words, those four are going to battle it out. Right now, all the UFC, I'll tell you right now, this is, I'm telling you guys a little info here. Right now, there's the number one focus of the UFC. If you're watching all the UFC and you want me to break it down to you, what's the most important things right now? The top six at lightweight, that's number one. Number two is two and three, you don't have to put in any particular order, but Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic, and that's very important because that determines who literally is the baddest man on the planet. I'm gonna blow your mind. Listen to this. I'm gonna whisper here. Listen, ready? Stipe Miocic, ready for this? Stipe Miocic beats Daniel Cormier, then John Jones fight Stipe Miocic. What? I only say that. I'm getting on a rant here. This is going to go over the segment. I only say that because if Daniel beats Stipe, he's considered the baddest man on the planet, yet he lost to John Jones. Do we count the John Jones situation? However, if Stipe beats DC, which wouldn't be crazy, oh my God. All right. Imagine this. Stipe, this is a totally off topic, but this is how excited I get, right? If Stipe beats DC, right? He beats Cain Velasquez, and then he beats John Jones. What? Does that make him the baddest man on the planet? I think that makes him the baddest man on the planet if he beats those three. But I was saying, and then the third one would be Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega, which we know how much of a threat Brian Ortega is, knocking out Frankie Edgar. Frankie Edgar came back, right? We're all aware. I can just add this to the next segment. I'll add how our boy Frankie Edgar did, how he got the win over Cub again, which isn't a huge surprise, but I'm happy for him. But all right, guys, I'm sorry to go on that totally random rant. But just imagine that. Just have a little fun. As Bruce Springsteen once said, have a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. And that's all right with me. Boom, 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 boom. All right, so Nick, Notorious, Newell, which already annoys me, because we only know one Notorious one, right? And I know, oh, yeah, well, you know, he probably found the nickname first, and then Connor came, or Connor found it first, and you could have the same nicknames, and it's all right. No, it already annoys me. I'm already mad. I already don't like it. But that's besides the point. All right, so you know Nick Notorious Newell? Not Noel, it's Newell. N-E-W-E-L-L, 32 years old, 5'10", weighing 155 pounds, 14 wins, 1 losses, loss against Justin Gaethje via TKO, July 5th, 2014. Sorry. But yeah, so listen, the issue is you know, on your body, you have your shoulder, you have your arm, right? But technically, your arm is only from your shoulder to your elbow. That's considered your arm. But your forearm is considered your elbow to your wrist, right? So he has his arm, but he's missing his hand and forearm. And again, a lot of his wins are from decision. So again, this has become a very controversial topic, right? You know, should he fight at all? Should he fight? Does he deserve a shot at the UFC? You know, if it's one thing to fight guys that are in these other divisions, right? These other, anything that's not UFC, that's okay. But once you get in the UFC, you're fighting the big leagues. An important thing to understand, these big leagues of the UFC is your cutthroat. They don't care if you're missing an arm. Which, listen, I'm sure he's very aware of all this. I'm not saying anything that's new here. I'm just trying to analyze the situation. What concerns me is a lot of his fights is what he does is, like, he's very, like, he's very jumpy. And I guess the reason he's very jumpy is he wants to get those kicks off to keep the distance, right, from getting punched. Because obviously everyone's going for the right hook, right? So he stays very jumpy, and then he shoots for a takedown. What he does is he keeps everyone from a very far distance. Excuse me. Oh, I burped again. He keeps everyone from a very far distance. And then as soon as they start coming in, he kind of hits him with like a jab and kind of shoots for the takedown. He has very strong wrestling. But my issue is that if he misses the takedown, then what? Then what happens? He gets punished really, really, really bad. And all of a sudden, I'm just saying, it's awesome. I want to see it. He's going to do the Dana White Contender Series, which I think is awesome. It's like, it's kind of like boot camp almost. Like, not like he's not a qualified fighter, but it's just like, listen, you want to come to the UFC? Like, listen, perform really well at a Dana White Contender Series, and you're in. And we'll call it a day. Like, you know what I mean? Like, wash your hands. Like, you're in. Let's cut it out. Like, you're good. But I don't know. My issue is that it's all fun and well, and you know, listen, does he have more experience than maybe his first two opponents or something? Yeah, but it's when he starts approaching that like top 15, even like top 20, where it's like, dude, they're gonna be, if someone has good takedown defense and they're blasting that right hook, I don't see it going well. And my issue is kind of like the Justin Gaethje situation, where it's like, you know, like, yeah, he's tough, but all of a sudden, if he starts getting blasted by a right hand, like, then all of a sudden it's not so funny anymore, you know? And I watched some of his old fights, which, listen, he wins fair and square. There's no nonsense. He wins, but the other guys, like, it's some of the stuff's a little sloppy. Listen, I'm not a jiu-jitsu expert. I'm no striking expert, but you can tell that just watching a few years of UFC, watching guys grapple and stuff, you could tell that the guys in the situation who were trying to get him off his back, that they didn't use the right technique. They weren't doing it correctly. They were letting him take his back. I saw one clip where literally the guy had his both hands on the ground trying to stand up, and the freaking Nick Newell was literally wrapping his arm around his throat. He didn't even work the arm. Like, that's, I know that's the one thing you're supposed to do. If someone tries a rear naked choke you, like, you work, I don't care what position you in, you take that, you work that arm to get it off your throat. Because it doesn't matter, at that point, it doesn't matter if you're on the ground. You're just trying not to get choked out. So it was a little sloppy, as some of his opponents. I'm not too impressed with that. So yeah, give him the Dana White Contender Series. I'm glad the Contender Series is coming back. The Ultimate Fighter is garbage anymore. It's not fun to watch. I don't care. And freaking UFC Fight Pass. This is what I'm going to go on a rant about UFC Fight Pass. Sorry. You have UFC Unfiltered. Jim Norton, Matt Serra. That should be included in UFC Fight Pass video version. Everyone likes video version. Yeah, but it's stupid. Like, why do people just want to watch this talk? Because it's like we're engaged. It's like we're in the room with you guys, with Jim, with Matt Serra. Oh, yeah, that's a little creepy. Yeah, what, you get what I'm saying. You're in the room. You feel more engaged, right? That should be in UFC Fight Pass. Stop with this BS deal with Fox about how, like, in order to put an Ultimate Fighter episode on Fight Pass, you have to wait, like, 3 or 4 weeks to get it. Like, what am I paying for? That's the big thing with UFC Fight Pass. I have it. I kind of like the prelims, but I don't know. Oh, I'm so gassy right now. Sorry. But yeah, so I don't know. Like, what am I paying for? Like, I'm paying for the archives. I understand that, but how much archive am I going to watch? I'm sure there are plenty of fans right now I love watching live events. I freaking love watching live events. I'm already watching events that already happened. If there's a fight, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to watch this guy have this fight. Yeah, all right, it was good. Like, I skip ahead a little. Like, it's boring otherwise. It's not that much fun. You want to see a lot. You want raw emotion. But that's what they should do. That's the issue with the Ultimate Fighter. So, yeah, have the Dana White Contender Series. Screw Fox. Put the freaking thing on Fight Pass. Build a fan base. Like get the hardcore fans psyched up. And then what? Like, UFC's taken over. Like, UFC's obviously already the monopoly, but you're telling me that fans wouldn't love having once a week having a UFC event, which I don't think that's too much having it once a week. I freaking love it. I miss having fights. I get bored if I don't have a fight once a week. Have the fights once a week on a Saturday night, and then Tuesday night, young talent, and just take that young talent and keep feeding it into the talent pool in the UFC. Like invest in the fighters more. Like imagine they're like, all right, listen, once a week, or like, I don't even know, like every month, we're going to have like 3 new UFC fighters make it to the UFC. Or I don't even know how the contender works. I don't know. Like, again, this wouldn't be all year long, but like it's almost like a draft, right? Like, I think Ariel Helwani talked about this. I'm pretty sure it's almost like our NFL draft. Like have this for a few months, get a few new prospects. Don't get old guys. No one wants a 34-year-old. You understand? We want get someone who's Sean O'Malley. More Sean O'Malley's the better. Sean O'Malley is the perfect fit, because I'll tell you why. He's very confident, but he's not a trash talker, right? He's not over cocky. He's cocky, but not over cocky, right? So that's the thing. That's what we want. We need more Sean O'Malley. You're telling me after the Contender Series premieres, we don't have 10 young fighters, 24, 25, 26, 27-year-old. You're telling me we don't have a group of fighters. We sprinkle that into the few divisions. Are you crazy? And the women too. The women too. Just you imagine you have super young, well-rounded fighters with a personality and talent. And what you do is it's like you just like Salt Bay, right? Like the Salt Man guy, where he puts the salt in and he just sprinkles it down. Like that's what you gotta do with all you lay all the weight classes, like lay them flat down and just sprinkle 10 or 15 new young fighters into each division. Oh man. All of a sudden you got excitement again, right? All of a sudden we're mixed, like Joey Diaz would say, we're mixing and matching here, right? Cal Habib is fighting the four mentality, Stipe Miocic, right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what gets things really exciting. So, again, Nick Notorious Newell. Again, yeah, listen, he's great. It should be interesting. I'm going to watch him fight. The only issue is he's 32 years old. He's in his prime right now, but I don't know. We have to see. I'm going to make any hardcore opinions on this. I hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Follow me on Instagram @champsandchins. All lowercase, all one word, @champsandchins. You can follow me on Instagram. Leave a comment, please, so I can interact with some fans. Reach out to me. Send me a message and say, hey, I listened. Hey, cool podcast. Hey, talk about this. Hey, talk about that. I'm totally cool with it. All right, guys. I love you guys. And make sure you tune in and enjoy. Stay beautiful.
Oh, thank you.